We've been talking about strongholds and what they are and what to do about them. And I want to read a verse to you. Lord, as we open the Word of God, would you just open our hearts? I shared this with someone this morning. Somebody prayed for me. And how many of you, especially in the winter time, have tried to put air in a car tire? I have metal, wheels, and when it goes cold the first time, tires go low. And you've got to get down in the snow or whatever and try to do that. Well, I was being prayed for today, and I saw the stems growing. So it'd be real easy to put in the air. And I said, oh, that represents everybody's heart. And I'm going to ask today that everything that's said and done easily puts the Spirit of God in people. That pneumatic connection to inflate your tire, so to speak. And so, Lord, as we open your word, would you put wind behind the words? And would you cause a penetration that causes everybody's heart to be touched and changed? In Jesus' name. I read this in a prayer meeting yesterday. We're talking about strongholds and having thoughts that don't measure up with the truth. And this is really good. It's from Psalm 119, verse 96. I'm reading from the Amplified. I wrote this in my journal, obviously. I have seen that everything humans have has its limits and end. So everything human has its limits and its end. But no matter how extensive or noble or excellent, but your commandment is exceedingly broad and extends without limits into eternity. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. So everything we do in our own power, everything we do that is purely, I use that word cautiously, but that is centrally human, has its limits and has its end. Yeah. And the stuff we're talking about has no limit or no end. That's the difference between human thought and the thoughts of the Lord. So we've been looking at this for a few weeks, and we've used 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 7, so that's where we're going to go. I'll probably just read the first five verses, but this again is from the Amplified Bible. For though we walk and live in the flesh, that's this stuff, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Why? Because human weapons have their limits and their end. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Why do strongholds exist? Well, because the enemy exists. But in the kingdom, strongholds exist in order to be destroyed and overthrown. So if you realize you have one, now you know why you have it, so you can overthrow it and destroy it. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So arguments, theories, reasonings, things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, those are the things that create strongholds and try to maintain them. So we got to work on them. And that means we got to change the way we think. And we get to. That's called repenting. Changing your mind about what you might hear or believe. So what's a stronghold? I cherry-picked things from the last couple of weeks. Professing to live under the authority of God's word while actually living by the dictates of human reasoning. That's a stronghold. When you know what the Lord says and you choose to do otherwise, okay? When you believe a lie as if it were the truth, your life will be affected as if it were the truth, even though it's a lie. So if you really believe that the moon is made out of green cheese, you're really weird. But the more you say it, the more you'll believe it, and the more you'll arrange your thinking to validate that statement. Now, who would do that? Well, you know, that weird uncle in your family that we talked about. But the idea is, that's crazy. Well, so are some of the things that we believe or that our life is driven by because of the fact that strongholds have been established in us. I don't know anybody that does the green cheese thing, by the way. There's hope. A stronghold is any thought pattern on which one relies. This includes arguments and reasonings used to defend a belief position or a behavior. A mindset, your filter for truth, what you really believe, is a stronghold, and it's the house of thoughts that the enemy works from. So you've built a little hut in this house for the enemy to operate from. Strongholds are rooted in our past experience, not always, but very often. Our minds are warehouses for past experiences, and the thoughts we have are the responses that we've given to those experiences. When something traumatic, bad, ugly happens to you, and it twists your thinking a little bit because you never thought that would happen, now all of a sudden there's doubt, there's a what if that gets established in your life, and you start making thoughts that are influenced by that, not recognizing that the jolt you took twisted you a little bit. Don't have to raise your hands. Ever have anything traumatic happen to you? Some of you were thinking, well, I've heard you preach, you know. Now I got you back. But this idea of something traumatic happening, something kind of defeating happens. Something you really thought was great and you put everything into in it and it failed. Which means it didn't work. And now you've got to work around that and your inner man has to think around that. And, well, if this didn't work, did that really work? Or is that going to work? Huh? And it starts happening. So you don't try the next time because it didn't work this time. Even though this time has a lot more security and a lot more backing than last time. But you can't think straight about it. Are we doing okay? And you do that over and over and over. Now that's your position. Hey, we really think we ought to try this. Don't do that. I wouldn't be any part of that. You shouldn't do that. God's not in that. Why? Because it didn't work for me. So you can't support, you know. So in other words, you now think you're a loser in some ways. And you're not going to let other people become losers because they might want to do something you did. Do you know that a lot of parents have done that and influence their kids in the wrong way? Oh. I be a parent, you know, and a grandparent. And you have to be careful because I don't want to project the stuff that's not fixed in me completely onto somebody else. And just between you and me, ain't nobody got everything completely fixed yet. Amen. Now, that's good theology. It's kind of bad language there. I'm sorry. I was an English major. Come on, I know better. But the reality is that's the case. That's why we're talking about this, because we want these things torn down in people's lives. Everybody's, including me. So it can be something that happened in your past, but it doesn't have to be something that happened in your past. But they are rooted in our environment, whether it's the past or present environment. And strongholds come from a system of error that's in us, what I've been describing. Whether a stronghold comes from past or present environment, it depends on a system of wrong thinking which lends credibility to it and its existence. So this thing that has happened to you, this twist in you that made you not see things the way that God would see them, this this becomes a warehouse for other wrong thoughts. And pretty soon, you always choose this way and you always think this way, and you can't be dissuaded from that point of view because that's now reality to you. And it's probably in here again, but I'll say it again. We end up speaking the proofs of what we think instead of standing for the truth of what he says. Yeah, that's, put that on your refrigerator. But it's real. And every time we bump up against that, we got to fix that. We have to let the Lord renew our minds, which we're going to get to in a second, I hope. I said I hope. The issue is we can't resist it just because that's the way we've always thought. Because sometimes the way we've always thought is messed up. And all of a sudden you think of somebody. That's real. And so the thing is, the Lord will allow you to look in the mirror to see if that's you. Strongholds are not proof that there's a demon working. They're proof a demon has worked. That an enemy has worked. And now he's built this little warehouse where he can just distribute. And you become a distributor of things that aren't the truth. You may think they are because you keep offering proof, but your proof may not be the truth. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, this is a little bit difficult. That's why I'm slowing down. And that's why I keep repeating some of these things. Man, I don't want to be saying things to people. Do you know how dangerous it is to do what I do and not speak the truth and not know that you're not speaking the truth? But you've heard people do it, as have I. It scares me to death. I have to answer for what I say. I got a lot of answering that I have to do. But it's so important that we allow the Lord to work with us, because we are co-workers, to dismantle those ways of thinking. We all have some, because, I mean, I guarantee, I mean, it's a miracle I didn't grow up a bigot. It really is, because my dad really was such one. And my mother even asked me one time, how do you know all these things you're thinking? You know, because I'd never met anybody of color when I was a teenager. I mean, the only person of color I ever met was, you know, a dumb kid that said something wrong in class and his face turned red. That was it. But the Lord was already trying to work in me before I was ever saved, is what I'm trying to say. And there are things, well, I'm not a bigot. That's not the only way. I'm just saying almost everybody has been influenced that way by someone in your makeup. Right? I mean, I know when the first time I'll just not say where, but when I went into a public place and there was a nice water cooler and one for colored people. This is like in my lifetime I'm talking about. And no, I'm not 100. And I saw that and I thought, and this was after Selma and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they'd never changed it because it would cost them money to move it. So it was still up. I said, that's against the law, man. You know, yeah, nobody believes that. Right. You're saying it. You're displaying it. They did it because I still believed it. Sorry. That's a bad example. But that's a stronghold for sure. That was in our culture, our society. Not just in individual people. It was in a lot of individual people, but you know what I'm saying? So, when our thought patterns and reasonings get infiltrated by the spirit of this age, then our mind becomes a place where the enemy's schemes appear to us as our own reasonings. Strongholds are often the product of that kind of a deception. Well, nobody wants to think they're deceived. Therein lies the deception. I mean, I don't want to think it either. I just can't afford to, you know. The stronghold can become an arsenal, a weapon depot of destructive thoughts in our lives and frustrate God's plans. Haven't you ever dealt with someone who you can explain it to them so perfectly and it's right and it's true? No, I can't do that. No, we don't think that way. I couldn't take that risk. I don't believe in things like that. And they think they're a believer. And I'm not saying they aren't. But that stuff's got to get uprooted if they're ever going to meet the destiny that God has for them. It's, you know, like the old Oklahoma prophet. If you continue to think as you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. And it's so hard for people. Well, why are things so bad for me? Well, maybe we aren't making good choices. And maybe you're getting help not to make good choices. So let's see if we can't dismantle that. Right? So it's not like you're evil. It's not like you have a demon. It's that you've been messed with by the enemy. And this is the what he fights for. Because if you're a Christian, the Lord already has your heart. So he can't go after that. So he goes after your mind, not your brain. Your mind, the way you think. And, oh man, you guys are listening really slow. So how do we tear down strongholds? This is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4 from the Weiss translation. For though we are ordering our behavior in the sphere of human experience, not in accordance with mere human considerations, are we waging warfare against evil. For the weapons of our warfare are not human, but mighty in God's sight, resulting in the demolition of fortresses, demolishing reasonings, and every haughty mental elevation. Isn't that a good phrase? Haughty mental elevation, which lifts itself up against the experiential knowledge which we believers have of God. That's why it's so important to know him. Have experiential knowledge. You know, I mean, I've said this a million times, but Abraham Lincoln was a boyhood hero. And I knew a lot of stuff about him as a kid, but I never met him. And I said all sorts of stuff about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. That was wrong and sacrilegious and pretty, well, stupid. But I'd never met him. And once I met him, I mean almost at once when I met him, I quit saying all that stuff because I didn't believe it anymore. And I didn't let my life get directed by all those false things that I believed. Because I thought that the Bible was fairy tales and, you know, people believed in, you know, Jesus were like old Disney movies or something like that. They're just fables and they're, it's the opium of the masses, you know? And people that needed God weren't smart enough not to. And that's what I thought. Lord didn't think kindly of that. But when he got me, just all that stuff got torn down. I had some other areas that didn't get all torn down at once, but that did. So I'm going to cheat. It's we're getting late. So I'm going to cheat, I think. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
I want to show you something you might not believe, and then I'll finish this next week. Thank God there's always next week as long as we're here. I give a list of things that are weapons, and one of them is our human behavior. This is Proverbs 28, verse 4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Do you know that? When you're violating the truth that God's given you, you're praising the wicked. Not just serving, it says praising. Anybody want to praise the devil for me right now? No, but we do it. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with the wicked. So just walking with the Lord is warfare. Isn't that cool? Now, what if I mess up? You will. Okay? Just walking with the Lord is fighting. It's striving. I need to not use that hand. Like I told Juan, I don't know if I told you guys or not, but this shingle thing is bad. I've got, still have pain, especially under my arm. And other than that, I mean, I can move it and stuff, but if I do anything with it, I pay for it. There was a fly in the house, in our bedroom. And my wife got up and said, "I'll come back when it's dead." And I said, "Babe, it's after midnight. I need to go to bed." Then killed the fly. So I got a fly swatter and just sat there, you know. And this stupid fly, whom I'd been trying to swat out, you know, anyway, she was flying, trying to get it out of the air. "I can't get this, you do it." And so she closed the door, so it's me and the fly. And, you know, I thought I should turn into like Spider-Man or something. But so I'm sitting there on the bed, and the fly lands on the flat of the door. And I thought, "You did, man." And I laid into that fly, and I hit it so hard that the fly swatter popped back out of my hand, and the fly was dead, but he just went flying off of there. And my arm, when I hit that thing, I hadn't used my arm like that for months. You know, it's like a telegraph. Pain's coming. And man, I go, so I told Kathy, I said, "Okay, got him, we can go to bed. But from now on, you can only let slow flies in here. Because I'm going to have to get them left-handed." Sometimes you're just stupid. But see, I have a stronghold in me. I'm right-handed. That's where my power is. And I acted from it. Not going to do that again. But the truth is, that hurt. And I didn't think it because that's me. That's normal. And see, that's what we do. And sometimes, even to our pain, we operate out of that stronghold. This happened to be a good one, I think, you know. But anyway, I'm allergic to pain. That's the only thing I'm allergic to. And that wasn't a good one. Proverbs 24:25. "But to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them." Well, how do you rebuke the wicked? Walk with the Lord. Isn't that cool? So our behavior is warfare. Proverbs 21:15. "The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but it's a terror to the workers of iniquity." Man, do I want to be a terror to the workers of iniquity. They mess with people so bad, and I be a people, they mess with me too. And this, as we said, it's a joy to do justice. Righteous and justice are the foundation of his throne. Okay, I'm going to quit with one thing, and I'll guarantee you we'll do it again next time. But one way, the Word of God, and then we're going to go through that next week, how the Word of God is a weapon. But one way it's a weapon is how he renews our minds. Now, and I wrote down at the bottom, this is on the bottom of page 2. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, those of you who've been around a while know that when I first got saved, one of the things that the Lord did with me was help me quit cussing. And I was really good at it. I was loquacious in it. And I did it a lot, and I didn't know I did it because it was a stronghold. And I mean, I went to the first prayer meeting, and I cussed in the prayer meeting. And yeah, I mean, F-bomb in the prayer meeting. And one of the guys just grabbed my hand, and he said, "I know you didn't mean that." And I thought, oh, I didn't even know I said it. But by people's, I thought, oh, yeah. I said, sorry, that's still in there, you know. But they loved me through it. Amen. But I made a deal with the Lord that I would confess 1 John 1:9 every time I cussed. One morning, I had done it 65 times. And I went in the bathroom. I said, "Lord, I can't, I'm going to get fired. I can't just go..." And so I would go to the bathroom so I could say, "Oh Lord, If I confess my sin, you're faithful and righteous to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I had a little New Testament that I had in my back pocket, or New Testament Psalms. And I would read it and then stick it back in my pocket and go back into the, I was running a Taco Bell restaurant. Yeah, I was high on the hog living, I'll tell you that. And I did it over and over and over and over. And after that morning, when I'd done it 65 times, and I just said, I'm helpless. I can't make this stop. I mean, I said, I didn't even stop in the prayer meeting. My first prayer was, Lord, what the hell am I doing? That's honest to God, that's what I said. And he just laughed at me. And something snapped in me. And it's like, whoop. And that wasn't like the top thing in my thinking anymore. It's like my programming had been changed. Now, there wasn't any programming, but you understand what I'm saying. He did something to me. But I still use that verse a lot. Really praying for other people mostly. Now, let me read this to you again, and let me tell you what happened where the Lord broke another stronghold in me. And I was saved, filled with the Spirit, you know, speaking in tongues. I mean, I was doing it. And it was about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was riding around. This is way back when I was in St. Joe pastoring. And I would usually get up in the morning, just go out and sing and worship and pray and stuff. And it was freezing rain that morning, just for about 10 minutes. Just like a little thing went through. And I'm driving in it, of course. So I have to slow down to like 30. And I think I said, you know, this darn guy that was in front of me. Only it wasn't a darn guy. It was a couple of other things. And so I stopped and I said, Lord, I confess that as sin. And I know that you're faithful and righteous to forgive me and cleanse me. And I thought, well, good for me. You know, I did that. And immediately the Lord said, if you only believed it. Now, I had said this verse thousands of times for myself and for others. And he said, if you only believed it. And I said, what don't I believe? And he said, well, you always come to me and you always quote it and you say that I'm faithful and righteous to forgive and cleanse. He said, but you never walk away clean. And I said, so I quoted it again. But, I said, what do you mean? He said, the scripture says that I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Two things have to happen there. You have to believe the forgiveness and the cleansing part. Because when you don't walk away cleansed, you're saying, I'm not faithful and I'm not righteous or just to do that for you. I said, I'd never say that. I don't believe that. And he said, you do it every time. You walk away forgiven, but you don't walk away clean. And I was stunned. I said, but I quote it all the time, you know. And I said, well, Lord, I would never say that you're not faithful or righteous or just. And he said, you say it every time you walk away unclean. So it's no longer that you don't believe it. It's you're saying something about me when you do that. That I'm the one, because if you really believed what you're saying, you would know I would not cleanse you. I would cleanse you every time. And because I am faithful and I am righteous to do what I would say. And when you walk away clean, you can't walk away righteous. Now you're righteous in the sense that I've imputed righteousness to you, but you don't think that way. I said, well, you're getting kind of personal. But I realized I'd said it so often, and I knew I was forgiven, but he was right. I didn't walk away in a cleansed, righteous position where I knew that things were right between me and him, and I could help other people get it that way. And so, as a Christian, a believing Christian, you know, I mean, like a guy that does this that I'm doing, I didn't know I was saying that God was unrighteous and unfaithful. But how many hundreds of times had I prayed that verse, thinking I believed it, making sure other people believed it, and I wasn't thinking right in here because I thought I was okay with him forgiving me, but that clean thing, I probably needed to work on that. He says, I do it in one form. When you come to me, I do my part. And read the verse. It doesn't say that you'll be forgiven and feel clean. It just says you'll be forgiven and cleansed. And I thought, oh, he said, I have confirmed you as righteous. When I do my part, you're rejecting me when you don't walk away that way. Because you need to walk away knowing I have cleansed you, consequently, you are experientially righteous. And I'm going, shoot. And I thought, well, of course that's true. He said, you haven't believed it until now. Wow. I'm telling you, that changed the way I thought. Even though I could have, and probably did, I could have recited that to you in my sleep. But I wasn't awake to what I was saying. How many of you would look God in the face and say, I don't think you're faithful. I don't think you're righteous. And then duck, you know. Now, listen to me. I was saying it every time. And I didn't know it because of the stronghold that was in me. Now, how did that happen? I don't know, because I would tell everybody else, you should, you know. But I wasn't making that application. And when he told me that about me, and what I was doing, proclaiming that by not believing it, I thought, oh, man. I just thought, how many times have I done that, you know? And you know what? He wanted me to walk away experientially clean. But he had to also tell me what I was doing to him. And he told me, oh, you'd never do this knowing, but you do it all the time. I thought, oh. You know, you think you got one thing fixed, you know? What I want to say, and I'm going to use a word because I don't have another one to use at the moment. You can have a religious stronghold. You can. And, you know, you've heard people say, well, we don't do that because we're a Methodist or we're a Pentecostal or we're charismatic or, you know, whatever like that. Well, it doesn't mean you're right. You know, no, I left a church that because I didn't believe this or that. Well, that's good, but that doesn't mean everything else that you believe is correct. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I don't want anybody to have the experience I had like that. You know how I didn't even have enough energy to be mad at myself. I just couldn't believe that the enemy was sitting back there going, every time I did that because of what I was declaring about the Lord, not knowing. That's what was happening in the spiritual realm. And I also got forgiven. Because yes, he's faithful to do it. I just never worried about the cleanse part. And that was, he says, well, it's all one thing. It's all one sentence. It's all one act of my heart. Man, I mean, it set me back. I am very seldom speechless. But man, that one just, you know, I didn't know what to say. But I didn't hear him audibly. I heard in my heart these things. But I would never have made something up that made me bad. You understand? I would never have made something up that put me in a position of needing to change. And I thought that, but it was so easy to change my mind. There was a grace to do it. He was showing me what I was doing. And I said, oh no. And he said, and then it was, oh yes. You know? And so, I don't do that anymore. And I still use the verse. I recommend it. But I want, this is how tricky a stronghold could be in your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And is it all sinful? That wasn't sinful, but the outcome of it was negative. And the enemy loved it because of what I wasn't doing. And I messed up doing the right thing. But I'd done it so many times, I was not aware of it. I don't want anybody walking away unclean. Well, but you don't understand. No. I got you on this one. I got the Bible. You don't understand. That's what I would have said to anybody else. And he just helped me. So having a stronghold is simply a way of thinking that we do so often, we don't know we even do it. We're operating out of a predetermined. That's why I try to teach people, you need to have a predetermined yes. You know, just load your gun. I got a yes in my mouth and one in the chamber. So when it comes to something about the Lord, yes. And the next one's harder. Boom. So I've got two yeses. I'm two yeses closer to the thing he's working with me on. Is that making sense? Well, you can't do that. Sure you can. Sure you can. If you were a drinker before and somebody said, hey, I got a couple six packs, let's go watch the game, what would you say? Yeah. Okay. Why? Because that's what you've always done. Right? Now if somebody invited me over, you know, I said, well, you know, make me a nice tea and I'll join you guys. That's probably something I've done. That I've sat with people. It's not, you know, doesn't say don't drink. It says don't get drunk. Okay? Yeah. But iced tea has never stoned me. Okay? But if you were an available young man and a really pretty girl said, hey, could we have coffee? I don't even drink coffee. And I'd say, you know, in the old days, what time? Yes. And yes twice. You know what I mean? There wouldn't be any question to that. You have to recognize after you've been doing something for a while and there's an opportunity, it's an automatic. It's the same way with obeying the Lord. Believe me, I didn't obey anything. And I didn't like anybody telling me I needed to. If you choose volitionally to obey the Lord, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and an opportunity comes up not to, you're already going, no, I know the outcome of that. No, thank you. Right?
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, that stinks a little bit. Yep. But I'm sniffing it out. I'm starting to get there. Good habits work just like bad habits. They do. And they help you break down the strongholds because you're walking with the Lord. And that behavior is militant to the Lord. But that behavior doesn't come if you're thinking wrong and not making the right choices. Are we okay? So it can be something bad. You can have an affliction, you know, of some kind in your thinking. Or it could be, I was cutting the Lord short of who he is and what he wanted to do and not knowing it. And so it was, if we can say it, religious in the sense that it's in the realm of the Spirit, it's in the realm of the Bible and the Lord. I don't like to use the word religious because For me, that has a negative connotation because it could be connected to a spirit of religion and legalism. You can't go to that movie. You can't walk into that theater and think that Jesus is going with you. Oh, no, you're wrong. You can't walk into that theater and think he's not with you. Yeah, and, you know, maybe he will help make it miserable for you. But you understand, he doesn't quit hanging out with you. He doesn't. And he wants to keep hanging with you. And he wants you to think right about it. If you can, why don't we all stand up together? I've been trying to make a decision the last 15 minutes in my head what I want to do. Liz, would you come up here, please? We spoke earlier. I'm going to introduce this a little bit. Liz is new to me, but she had something happen to her today. I want to preface it with something that happened to me, okay? And you... This mic you have to kind of eat, use it, okay? But this week someone told me about a testimony where some people in Africa were praying in their prayer group and they felt like they were supposed to pray for somebody, a couple, a worship leader and a pastor. One of them was a worship leader, one of them was a pastor, they knew that much, and said, well, we really don't know what to pray. And they went to a prayer mountain in Uganda. Didn't know there was one. And they were there praying, and a prophet guy whom the Lord had spoken to, he says, what do I do? How do I find these people you're talking about? He said, well, go to the prayer mountain in Uganda. So he did, and he found them. And he told them some things about this couple that were in the United States that they also had heard, but didn't nobody knew who it was. And they said, well, how is this any good? What are we going to do about it? And the prophet said, well, I'm supposed to tell you something. And they thought, well, this is great. We'll know. He said, pray and the Lord will give you their phone number. And they thought, this guy's a false prophet. But they prayed. And the Lord gave them the phone number. And they called. And the lady answered, who's the worship lady. And her husband's the pastor, and said, lady, we're not crazy. You don't know us, we don't know you, but here's what we've been hearing from the Lord. And it was exactly what was going on. But they got a call from someone whom they did not know, and the Lord told them something. Well, this young lady kind of had a similar thing happen to her. It wasn't exactly the phone number thing, but it was someone calling her she didn't know. Can you take it from there?
This morning before I came to church, I had a phone call come in from an unknown number. I don't answer unknowns, so it went to voicemail. I wasn't going to check it, but I felt I needed to check the voicemail. And on the voicemail was a man who was praying the Lord's Prayer. Afterwards, he said, remember the power. Remember the power. Remember the power. And I thought, okay. Okay. Put it on the shelf. Came to church. And what did we sing today? We sang the Lord's Prayer. And I just said, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? And he said, remember the power. Remember the power. Remember the power and release it.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So she told Scott and I that trembling, her trembling and then us. And so I grabbed her and said, power! Release it! And We were singing real loud so nobody could hear it. But she heard that song. On the way here, I heard Defender, and we sang that. Come on. And I was listening to satellite radio. It's not like they were tuned into us, you know. So she heard something, and I heard something. I want to tell you, I know it's late. You know, I care and I don't care. But I'm telling you, a time's coming where it's, stuff's going to happen, and we're not going to know what time it is. Nor care.
Yes.
Now, I'm always going to be responsible and all that kind of stuff. You can count on that. But listen, remember the power.
Yes.
So would you put your hand on your heart or something like I'm doing? Okay, do that, if everybody. I told her about the air and getting the shh in. And, you know, that's pneuma. That's the Holy Spirit, you know, receiving the air. Inflating the tire. Lord, thank you for Liz having the courage to come up and talk to us about that. Thank you for the call that she received. And now, Lord, I want you to cause something to happen with us that we will all feel like we just got a call. And the call said, remember the power. So, Lord, we do that. And we want to say this. Release your power, O Lord, in each of us, in all of us. Release your power, O Lord. And I pray you would do something in our understanding where we could see strongholds falling because the power of God is released in us and around us. Through the reading of your word, through the worship of your name, through the declaration of the scriptures, Lord, we remember the power and we pray for a release that we don't want to be able to control. We don't want craziness. We want Acts chapter 2. We want Acts chapter 3. We want you to come and do what only you can do in the way that only you can do it and in a transformational release of your power. Come, Lord. Now, you all that know me know that I've been praying for some years now about a phrase the Lord gave me about the confluential flow of the evidential power of God. And the evidential power means he does something and he leaves something out to be able to be observed. People healed, eyes open, ears open. You know, the love of God coming in ways that people walk in one fashion and leave in another. You get something, Mike? Let me get the thing for you here.
Well, John was praying. I had a picture, and there's someone at home who's streaming. And you're either confined to a wheelchair or you're bedridden. And you've said in your heart, Lord, if you loved me.
Yeah.
Lord, if you loved me, I could get out of this. And the Lord says, I love you. I've always loved you. You must let me love you.
Yes.
And I will get you out of this, but perhaps not in the way that you think. And when a burden becomes a blessing, then the burden is easy because we receive the yoke of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
Take my load upon you. I love you.
Thank you, Lord. Let your love and power be released to that person that Mike just prayed for. We sang over and over this morning, oh, Jesus, you are living hope. Hope is the assurance that God's going to come and be God and do what God does. It's the absolute surety. It's not like a hope. No, in the scriptures, the hope means it's a declaration. You know, I like to say it like this. Hope is out here running, looking back to where I am, saying, come on, keep coming, because it's coming.
Yeah.
And I feel strong. We kept declaring that Jesus is our living hope. The living hope of God is an invitation for the release of power. What I meant to say is the living hope of God in us is an invitation to the release of the power of God. We said we're going to have an invitation Sunday. Come on, remember the power. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We want to touch people. We want more folks in here. We want people in heaven. We want people in the kingdom. We want people in the family of God. But we want them to be touched by the power of God.
Yes.
At a level beyond what has become normal to us. I mean, you know, Tyler got his healed. He found it out in worship last week. That's pretty cool. Nobody touched him. Right? I mean, nothing happened. It was the presence of the Lord. Turn it up, Lord. But I want you to know that when we're doing, when we're declaring things like we did today, Jesus, you're our living hope. Jesus, I love you. That's an invitation for him to come and do things that we haven't dreamed of yet. I believe it. Things that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. What the Lord has stored up for those who love him. Declaration of his love is an opening to the storehouse. That's what I really believe. Puts angels who haven't been working and doing anything, clearing the storehouse, bringing things out that the Lord wants us to have. I've already preached once, I should stop. Listen, I love him. And I want it to show. And I know you guys do. I think invitations from people who are filled with the living hope of Jesus wouldn't be hard to get. And I trust the Lord to come and deliver people and save people and heal people, accomplish whatever is concerning them, because he already knows. He knew that we were going to sing the song, the Lord's Prayer. He knew. And we're going to sing Defender today. And I'll be honest with you, I hadn't looked at the song list until my way down here when we did that. And I thought, well, that's a song I heard this morning. Duh. Lord, I pray things like this would happen to everybody. And I want to feel, and I want everyone to feel that voicemail that got left. Remember the power. Scripture says all power belongs to him. And he loves to give away what he has. We receive it, Lord, today. And we look to see the experiential involvement of your spirit in what you do, so we have new songs to sing and new ways to honor you. New ways to love you. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.